I'd like to talk to you about integrity, which is so important in the days ahead. Even now, integrity is going to be critical as we walk together with the Lord. And I want to unpack this a little bit and talk about what it is, what it's not. Why is it important? If it's important, can I lose it? If I lose it, can I get it back? Or if I don't have integrity, how do I get it? And that's what we want to do in this afternoon's teaching. I'd like you to be able to turn to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter 28. And while you're doing that, I just want to share a brief story with you that really called my attention and helped me even see more about what integrity was all about. Because integrity can be known in so many different ways. And we want to try to focus on the biblical definition of integrity. But while you're turning in your Bibles to Proverbs 28, many, many years ago, roughly 700 years B.C., which would be about 2,700 years ago, in the country of China, the Chinese nation was so concerned about the nomadic tribes in the north, and for fear that they kept coming in and invading their country, they built what has become one of the great wonders of the world, the Great China Wall. And this was built to keep out the enemies from China. This thing was a massive undertaking. And it was, in some cases, so high, and so they built it tall so nobody could scale over it. They built it deep and thick so that nobody could crumble it. In many cases, it's about as deep as this platform, 20, 30 feet high with fortitudes all around it. This was a massive undertaking. In fact, the Ming Dynasty part of the wall today is about 5,500 miles long. Just that one portion of it. To put that in context, that is going from New York to LA and back. So this wall goes all across the northern part of China to fence out the enemies. In the first 300 years, they enjoyed security. But right after that, they got invaded three different times. They didn't scale the wall. The enemy didn't come in and go over the wall. They didn't batter the wall down. They simply walked right through the gates. They bribed the gatekeeper. In all three scenarios, they bribed somebody from within. And they simply, that person was willing to look at personal gain in order to advance themselves in some measure. And they just simply opened the gates and the invading armies from the north came in. So all of this effort to keep out the enemy came through one of their own, one of their people that they were able to bribe. We want to talk about integrity in terms of what that means and the importance of integrity. Integrity is about honesty, moral principles, and the willingness to do what's right. It's a willingness of the heart that is saying, I want to do right. Now, for the record, let me say that I've witnessed through my life, I wasn't raised as a Christian, but I knew many people that had what I would determine to be integrity. They had integrity. They walked with integrity. I know from years of reading the Bible and being a Christian, over time, if you're not born again, if the nature of God is not alive inside of you, you can walk with integrity to a certain degree. But eventually your own strength wears out. And what happens where integrity really gets tested is that at the moment where there's not only just temptation, but there's an opportunity for perhaps personal gain or personal loss, what happens? What action does somebody take? So integrity is about honesty, the moral principles, and the willingness to do what's right. In the true definition, it simply means an undivided heart. It means a heart that's complete. There's no impairment. Your vision's not impaired. Your thinking's not impaired. Your hearing's not impaired. It's a complete and soundness. It actually speaks to the deeper things of the character of God that is alive inside of us. So when you become a born-again Christian, there is a new nature that is deposited into you. It is a new nature, and God is not impaired. God is not divided. God is complete. So the very nature of God becomes alive inside of us, and that forms the basis of integrity. It forms the basis of being willing to do right. Prior to becoming a Christian, I didn't know. I think I knew what speeding was. You couldn't get it, you know, if you sped, you got a ticket, or you weren't supposed to go kill anybody. I kind of knew the things, but in my heart, I had no moral compass. I had not been taught the things of God, was not a born-again Christian, so I just kind of followed my nose. I did whatever I wanted to do, whatever I felt was at the moment. And so when man actually struggled and fell in the Garden of Eden, the loss of integrity entered in. See, man was complete at that point. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God had created Adam and Eve, there was soundness, there was completeness, there was no fear, there was no temptation, they had a perfect relationship with God. But once they began to enter into this dialogue with the enemy, all of a sudden the loss of integrity came in. Loss of integrity means that when God says, "Where are you?" Well, we were hiding. Why were you hiding? Or when the temptation actually occurred, when they thought, okay, this is good for food, it's pleasant to the eye, and it's able to make one wise. But when they were confronted by God, the first thing that Adam did was one of these. Adam didn't take personal responsibility. He pointed at his wife, and his wife pointed at the serpent. So the loss of integrity begins with the fall of man. And this is our nature. Our nature that we have inherited over all of these years. Does anybody ever remember in school the Aesop's fable? Remember reading that as a kid in school? One particular story that's of always been fascinating to me was the scorpion and the frog. Right? There's a scorpion and a frog on one side of the river. They wanted to get across, and the scorpion comes up to the frog and said, "Will you take me to the other side of the river? I can't swim." And obviously you can. And the frog goes, "No way. I'll get halfway across and you'll sting me and I'll die." And the scorpion goes, "Oh no. No, because if I sting you and you die, I die because I can't swim." So the frog goes, "Okay, I'll take you across." They get halfway across and all of a sudden the scorpion just zaps the frog, stings him. He starts going into paralysis, and as the frog is sinking and about to die, and of course the scorpion is also about to die, he looks at the scorpion, he goes, "Why?" And the scorpion goes, "It's my nature." It's my nature. You can't change the spots. It's the nature. He could only do what came natural to him. And folks, we can only do what is part of our nature. That's why we need the nature of God. We need to be born again. We need salvation. We need to have newness created in us so that we can walk before the Lord. So integrity, it is about honesty, moral principles, and the willingness to do what's right. It is, are you who you say you are? And will you do what you say you will do? Because that's who God is. God is always going to do what he says he's going to do. And he is who he says. So are you, the question I want to ask, are you who you say you are? Are you doing what you say you will do? And this is not, I just want to ask the questions because we're going to explore what that means and how we could even maybe regain a bit of integrity. Integrity is not defined. Let me be very clear. It's not defined by social status, whether you are rich or poor. It doesn't matter where you live, what you drive, how you dress. It's not defined by your nationality. It's not defined by your gender, whether you're male or female, or your background, your cultural upbringing. Integrity is not defined by these things. Integrity is a condition of the heart. It doesn't matter where you come from or where you are, or it doesn't matter where you're going. Integrity is acting with personal accountability, being personally responsible for the thoughts you have, the meditations of your own heart, and the actions that you take. So integrity is acting with personal accountability, ethics. Am I willing to do what's right, both legally and morally? And am I being trustworthy? Can I be trusted? That's what another definition of integrity is, simply looking at, am I one way to this person and another way to this person? See, integrity is the absence of duplicity. Integrity is the absence of being double-minded. Duplicity means also the willingness and ability to deceive. So integrity means that none of that is there. And we saw total lying, total deception, total double-mindedness when the serpent entered into the Garden of Eden and tempted Adam and Eve. So he is a liar and the father of lies. And in God, in whom there is no lie, who there is no shadow, his yea is yea, his nay is nay, and his amen is amen. That's who we want to follow. I want to follow somebody who's got it together. Amen? Benedict Arnold. Anybody familiar with that name? Benedict Arnold was one of the great, great generals of our time back in the Revolutionary War in this country. But today, when you think of Benedict Arnold, at least I do, I think about somebody who became a traitor. He betrayed his country, and yet he was one of the great generals of our time. He practically built West Point and was charged with guarding West Point. But he also got to a point where he thought that he should be the head of the army. He was passed over for promotion. He was passed over, and George Washington became the head of the Continental Army. He was so upset and carried this in his heart for so long, he decided to betray his country. And he moved over to the enemy's camp. So all of the history, all of the background, all of the education, all of the culture, all of the ability to fight and be a great general, which was in Benedict Arnold, is lost in history because of his final act of betrayal. He is known today as a betrayer. And so when you heard Pastor Tim Delaney this morning, you're talking about what happens when betrayal comes. What happens when accusation comes? Where is your heart when you're possibly passed over and you get that thought, they should have given that job to me. They should have given me that promotion. They should have given me that raise. They should have moved me into this spot. And all of a sudden, you get caught up and you begin to think in your mind, why not me? Why not me? See, selfishness is the core of the loss of integrity. When you become so self-focused, then self takes over because that's your nature. And all of a sudden, this whole thought about where is God? Where is God in my life? And so I want you to read in Proverbs, the 28th chapter, you're there. Look at verse 6. And it simply says, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. I'm reading from New King James. This is not an indictment of the rich, nor is it an endorsement of the poor. I want you to hear that. This is not saying it's wrong to be rich, and it's not necessarily good to be poor. It's saying that if your heart is willing to do that which is wrong, and they use I love the term perverse here, and I want to talk a little bit about what that means and what connotation it has for us and the impact that it has on us. It says that you're better if you're poor to walk in integrity, though rather than be rich and have perverse in your ways, or you're willing to go after ill-gotten gain. You're willing to put self up front and do what it takes to have your personal gain or your personal reputation or your personal life. What's better for me? It's good for food, appealing to the eye. It's able to make me wise. That's where self and the self-focus really began. And so integrity is always trying to say it's not necessarily about you. It's about the Word of God. So true integrity with the ways that we've just defined it, says that you're willing to live your life for the betterment of others. I love the Summit School, our Bible school out in Pennsylvania, that says that ministry really is living your life on behalf of others or for the benefit of others. Your life is being poured out so that somebody else can have a better life. You're pouring yourself out. So many of you have been in the military and you read stories about soldiers in combat. What do you often hear them say? I did it because I was ordered to do it, and I did it for the person next to me. Some of the greatest stories throughout military history is about the soldier who says, that's not only my job, but I'm doing it for the person next to me. They're pouring their life out for the benefit of others. Over half the Medal of Honors that have ever been awarded in this country are somebody who gave their life for somebody else. That's phenomenal to me. That is integrity. That is willing to do what you say you're going to do, follow orders, and do it on behalf of others. You can have integrity and not do it on behalf of others. You can do something that may be legally right, but not necessarily morally right. Or you can do something that morally you think, if you're looking at your own compass, and you may wind up doing something illegal. You maybe get to the point where you think it's absolutely the right thing to do, but it flies in the face of what the law says. The great Ponzi schemes of the country. I've actually been in part of the prison ministry in this church for a while, have gone into some of the facilities and have met some folks who, in their own judgment, their own compass got off center, and they were willing to actually take steps that turned out to be illegal, and now they're paying the price for it. I've met some of these good people. They honestly thought that what they were doing was right to a point, and then they just kept going and never got back to center. The Word of God will bring you back to center always. It will always bring you back to center. It will always put your compass right back to zero. It will always straighten the heading out so that you know what direction you're going in. The Bible is the steadiness. The Bible is what tells us where we are. The Bible is what will read the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen? The Bible is what will discern. You can be reading this and not even focusing on anything else that you may have been doing, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, what about this? What about this? Perverse. It simply means a person whose real action is becoming known, and they're trying to let somebody believe that they're doing something else. So perverse simply means that I've been straight. It means that I've actually done good before and I turned away from good. Sound familiar in the Garden of Eden? They were doing well and they turned away from it. So the definition of perverse means that I was going straight and all of a sudden I bent off a little bit and he became crooked. Where we get the term crooked. And thus you boil it down even further, we call him a crook. Crook means somebody who was going straight and they all of a sudden went aside. For loss of integrity. And so the Bible calls it that they were perverse in their ways. And so if you're willing to be perverse in your ways for gain, even though you may become rich, the Bible says you're better off to keep your integrity and be poor. That's what the scripture is saying. You're better off to walk in your own integrity and what that determines and let God take care of the difference. Integrity is the opposite of hypocrisy. You become to the point, if you have a loss of integrity and you move off of center, not only do you now begin to do what's wrong, you become obstinate to go back and do right. You become a voice for all of a sudden, now what I'm doing is right instead of wrong. It's how we become as a society where we eventually call right wrong. Or we begin to call the wrong things of society good things. That's what happens with loss of integrity. And it will continue to take you down the deep end more and more and more. And in the heart of man, that's what God wants, the heart of man. He knows that the only way to bring somebody back is to have them have a true born-again experience. And for born-again Christians who may have gotten off center, it's called repent. That's right. Repent and do the good thing. Repent and come back. Repent and just simply say, God, I want to come back to the center line. I need help. I need help. I may have, in my heart and my thoughts, walked out so far where all of a sudden I'm looking at things that I don't need to be looking at. I'm having conversations that I don't need to be having. I'm thinking about things that I don't need to be thinking about. Integrity is what are you doing when nobody else is looking? Integrity is what conversations are you having when nobody in church is listening to those conversations? What kind of conversations are at the water cooler? What kind of meditation is in your heart when you're thinking about a relationship with somebody? What kind of thoughts are going through at a point right now where it's tax return time? Ooh. April 15th is coming. And I think there are some in the house today where God says, don't do it. Declare every penny, pay every penny, and I'll reward you. What can God do? What can God do? Integrity is following your moral and ethical convictions and doing the right thing in all circumstances, even if those circumstances change. You can't blame it on a change in circumstance or if nobody's watching. I learned this early on when I became a Christian. I was actually part-time in a hardware store, and my job was to sweep the floor back in the paint section. That's my job that particular day. Sweep the floor in the paint section. So I'm sweeping the floor, and I noticed that over on the sidewall is the part of the baseboard is about this far above the floor. And everybody before me had been sweeping everything under that baseboard. And of course, I'm going, well, this will make my job easy. I can get back to cutting glass. I don't have to sweep the paint floor. And as I'm about to do it, the Holy Spirit, as I'm standing here, just said, don't do it. Don't go there. I'm about to teach you a wonderful lesson. And I was, but this would be so easy. And my boss is not looking. How many times had I swept the kitchen floor? And I just kind of swept it under the carpet and pick it up, and mom will never see that. Nobody will see that. But God sees it. So I got down on my hands and knees. I'm looking under this baseboard. I went, oh, my God, how long has it been since people have been sweeping stuff under here? So I thought, you know what? I got to really go out and clean this out. I get a screwdriver out. I take the baseboard off, and I'm cleaning all of this stuff out. And it's a huge pot of just debris that's behind this wall. And I swept it all out, and I'm about to put the baseboard back. So the owner of the hardware store comes by. He says, what in God's name are you doing? I've got his wall torn apart. And I said, well, everybody's been sweeping stuff under here, and I just decided to go ahead and clean it out. And he says, why would you do that? And I said, well, I'm a Christian, and I wanted to sweep it all under there because I wanted to go out and do something else. And he called his son over, told him about this. His son, who was against me in the hardware business, became a Christian that day. Became a Christian that day. I love that because God was about to show me something about what happens if you just keep it right. Keep it clean, keep it pure, keep it in the open, keep it in the light. What would God do? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Several years later, I was married and had kids, and we had decided to move from where we were, and we had found a house we wanted to buy. We knew the person that was living in it. And it was not a real estate sign. It was just a personal transaction. They owned the house, and they were willing to do some of the finance. And it was part of their retirement. It was an older couple. And we agreed to buy the house. We agreed to pick up any debt that they had on any of the things, maybe possible liens against the house. So we said, we'll do all of that. And we'll begin to pay you your equity in the house. So it was an opportunity for me to move my family into this house. And all of a sudden, I get told I'm going to be transferred. Now, this was several months after this. And they had already made their decision. They were going to move. They were going to retire. They had made their decision on our commitment to them. And now, all of a sudden, I've got to move. I'm being transferred to California from Texas. And to me, in my mind, it was, well, this is easy. I don't have to keep that commitment. I don't have to keep doing that because I'm being transferred. And while we're doing all this planning, we were actually on the way out to California, and God began to speak to my heart and the heart of my wife, and we said, you know what? We think we need to pay them. We had made a commitment to them. So it was this tug of war. I go, well, we got transferred. And the Lord says, yes, you did, but didn't you make a commitment to them about their personal side? We said, yes. I said, so God, what does that mean? What are you telling me to do? I want you to pay every penny that you committed to pay them on the equity side of this transaction. So we said, okay, that's what we'll do. We didn't know where we were going to get it, but we picked up the phone and we called them back in Texas, and we said, we want to do what's right, and we want to pay you what we committed to pay you. And we began to pay them. We began to pay, and it was stretched for a little while, begin to pay. And I knew in my heart that I was doing the right thing. It feels good when you do the right thing. Folks, I'm telling you, it feels great when you do the right thing. And I'm just saying, God, every time we wrote the check, Lord, help them, bless them. Don't let every decision that we had made or I had made be an encumbrance on the word. Don't let that be a reflection of who you are. I'm making it right. I want to make it right. Within 8 months after being transferred into a new job, I was promoted again, and the wages were double what I'd been paying for the old house back in Texas. God was so good. He said, if you will just do what you said you would do, I'll take care of the rest. I didn't know that other promotion was coming. I didn't know that there was another blessing that was coming. I had no idea, and that's not why we did it. But we had prayed, we had agreed together, we need to do what we said we would do. And as a young couple with a young family, God impressed upon us that that's what we need to do. Don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to justify it. Simply do what you said you were going to do, and I will take care of the rest. And that has been a huge lesson all of my life, and hopefully what we've poured into our children and what we're trying to pour into our grandchildren. We don't want them to become a gatekeeper who's willing to take a bribe. We don't want them to have to make a decision that goes against the word of God. We want them to be able to get to the point where they say, yes, what is the word of God and what will that decision be? And that's the encouragement that we want to be able to give you today. Integrity is always tested under the opportunity of financial gain or reputation. I just want to call your attention. You don't have to turn there, but in the book of Acts, there's a short story right when the church was first starting under Ananias and Sapphira. It's in the Acts, the 5th chapter. You can go back and look at it. But all of a sudden, there was this, the church was beginning to sell possessions, and they were putting everything into the kitty as it is. They were putting it at the apostles' feet, is what the Bible says. And so they were selling. They were selling their goods, and they were coming in, and for the betterment of the church, that's what was happening at that time. Well, all of a sudden, here comes a couple who decided to sell a property, but what they decided in their heart is, let's agree together that we're going to tell them this is what we sold it for, and we're going to hold back a portion for ourselves. Now, there would have been nothing wrong for them to come in and say, hey, you know what, Peter? We sold the house for this, but we need to keep this back and pay for this, but this is what we're going to put. I think everything would have been fine. But they connived together. They manipulated for the sake of personal reputation. They wanted to be known as the one that just came before them, Barnabas. Barnabas was the one who started this and sold his land and donated the money. They wanted to be like that. So there was a reputation thing at stake. Not just financial gain. I think they had the love of money as the root of all evil. I think that was a potential concern. But more to me, what spoke to me was this: the desire for the reputation. Integrity gets really tested when there's opportunity for gain or threat of loss, both in finances and reputation. And that will get at the heart of integrity. Because it's not just about finances, it's about reputation and your image. When you say something or do something, what do you want the person that's listening to it to think about you? That will govern your speech. That will govern how you talk. It will govern how you talk about somebody. It will govern how you position yourself. As Pastor Carter has always taught us, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If you say you're going to do something, simply do it. This is also political season. You see people in politics making promises. There's some that they say they're a Christian. Their actions may be different. Some may hold a Bible up and say, I'm standing on the word of God, and yet they're standing on other things where their life is not a reflection of that. We all need to be careful of that. Because when reputation is at stake, when power is at stake, power, greed, reputation, financial gain or loss, it is one of the greatest tests of integrity. And the Lord just simply wants us to hold true to what this book says. If we do, God, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Praise God. He will see your struggle. He will see the struggle that you have. He says, I've got you. I'll take care of it. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the peace of God, the protection of God. That's what I want. So the Bible is saying, act according to the values and beliefs you claim to hold. Act according to the beliefs and values that you claim you have. I've got this. And people are walking around with this. Act according to it. If you say I'm a Christian, don't steal. If you say I'm a Christian, don't lie on your tax return. If you say I'm a Christian, don't lie to your neighbor. Don't make a promise. Don't make a vow and then have to break it. If you say you're a Christian, praise God. But if you do the right thing, the peace of God that passes all understanding will wash over your heart, over your mind, over your conscience. You walk around with a free conscience. You walk around free. You walk around with the blessing of the Lord on your life. You become a mirror image of who God is. You become a testimony to his goodness and his mercy and your grace, and to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Put integrity in me. Put the character of God in me that I didn't have before. Folks, there's never too late, as long as you have breath. There's never too late to make a decision for God and say, I want integrity now. I want it now. You may not have had it when you walk in here. You can have it before you leave. It's just simply turning back to God. It's simply turning from wrong and do right. In last week's message, Pastor Carter says, no part dark. No part dark. Let no thought, no action, no speech come except which is right in the sight of God and your fellow man. Be honest with one another. So you say, in the midst of the struggle of doing the right thing, how should I be thinking? How should I be praying? What should I be looking at in the Word of God? Paul says this in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8. It should be up on the screen. And I like this out of the English Standard Version. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, oh, God loves justice. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. Whatever is true and right and honorable and just, what would God have me do here? Lord, I'm going down this path, the way I'm thinking, or this habit that I've got, this habit of thinking, the way that I think about things may not be in line with the Word of God as I'm beginning to see it. But I've got this pattern of my life that this is the way I've made decisions. This is the way I've thought about things. This is the way I've thought about relationships, or my own prayer life. It could be my own relationship with somebody in the church. This is just the way I've done things. It's my nature. And now it's become part of who I am. It's become part of my character. This is when you have an opportunity to say, God, change me. Change me right now. Change me and deposit something in me that I can't get on my own. How do I get integrity? Oh, I love it. Go back just 2 chapters in the book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter. And we'll begin to close with this. How do I get integrity? It's also, how do I regain integrity that you may have lost? Look at Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You can't work this up. You can't manipulate it. You can't. The only thing you can do is say, God, I need you to do something in my life today. I need you to place something in me and get rid of the habits that I've developed. I'm not talking about habits. I mean, if you have bad habits that you're actually acting out, then stop it. I'm talking about habits, the way you think about things, the way you approach a situation, the way you maybe try to justify something in your mind. Maybe, well, if I do this because they passed over me on that particular job. How do I get in? It's God who works in you. Lord, work in me. Do something that's supernatural, that's by the Holy Spirit of Christ himself, that will do something in my heart and change me today. I want to walk out of here and begin to do the right thing. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Think the right thoughts. If you don't know what those are, begin to just out loud say the Proverbs over you, the Psalms over you. Begin to today is the 28th day of the month. I read Proverbs 28 this morning. I was blown away. I said, Lord, that's the scripture I'm teaching on this afternoon. Say the word of God over you. If you do this, it begins to reshape your thinking, begins to wash. It's the washing of regeneration that begins to make anew into your heart and your mind and the way you think about things, the way you approach God, the way you approach one another, the way you approach each other at work, the way you approach your boss, the way you approach people who work for you. It doesn't matter what your background is. If the word of God is shaping your thinking, if you do what God said to do, you will get what God expects you to get. You hear me? If you do what God tells you to do, you will get what God expects you to get. Let that be defined by God and not by you. It blows me away that sometimes I used to settle for second best because I say, that's what I want and I'm willing to go after it. And God said, I have so much more for you. I have the ability to let you walk in peace, covered by my blood, covered by my sacrifice. Let me pour into your life, Jerry. Look at verse 15 in Philippians 2. That you become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. Look at this. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So Proverbs 6 says, it's better to be poor and walk in your integrity than be perverse, though you may be rich. And Paul is saying right here, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that if you let God work in you, if you let God correct the way certain things are thought about and meditated upon and place something different in there, then all of a sudden you are now, you become blameless and harmless. You want to be blameless without harm, without intent to harm? And all of a sudden God says that in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, people who have gone straight and now went to the side, they become crooked and perverse, this generation, and that you shine as lights in the world. Wouldn't that be awesome if all of a sudden the conversation you've been having with somebody just says, you go to them at work tomorrow, do you know that conversation we had last week? I'm sorry. I take that back. I apologize. That was not right of me. I'm a born again Christian. And I'm now going to go the way that God tells me to go. I'd like you to come with me. Oh, you folks, you would be amazed. You would be amazed. So what's the second step and how do you get integrity back or how do I get integrity? Make it right. Repair any damage. And just think about, maybe it's a conversation you had that you need to go get right. Maybe it's a comment you made about somebody to somebody else that you need to make right. Maybe it's a financial transaction that you need to make right. Maybe it's dreams or thoughts that you have in your heart about somebody that you shouldn't be thinking about. And just simply make it right. In that case, just go to God. Just say, Lord, help me. If you'll return to God and obey what God said, just like Pastor Carter said last week, it's simple. He said, obey God. Obey God. Folks, if we don't obey God in this day and this hour, the things that are about to come upon us. Last week, Pastor Carter said, we are sitting on the edge of the precipice of eternity where there is things coming that we don't want to come, but it's coming. We need to have our hearts pure. We need to have oil in our lamps. This is oil. This is oil for your lamp. That when that comes upon you, it's not going to come as a surprise and that you actually become a light in this crooked and perverse generation. You can let your light shine because you say, God, help me in this. Proverbs says, let your eyes look ahead. Let your eyes look straight. God, help me to get back to a point where it's just looking straight. Hallelujah. Jesus promises that if you'll do this, you won't be caught by surprise. You'll have plenty of oil in your lamp. And the God of all peace will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The God of all peace and the God of all comfort will keep your heart and mind with the peace that passes all understanding. And that's simply, you get that by just turning in your heart and say, God, help me. Help me. If I'm doing it right, help me do it better. Help me teach the person next to me. Help me grab somebody that comes along. I want to be obedient to your word. I want to do it for the benefit of others. Praise God. Would you stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to make a very simple altar call. There are some in here today, it could be some online, that you simply are saying, Lord, I'm not doing this right. Nobody has to know what that is. Now, if it's something that you need to repair, then you need to go to that person. You have to repair it. But in terms of this altar call, this is between you and God. God knows your heart. God knows your thoughts. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, is able to divide asunder as is separating soul and spirit, bone from the marrow. It's that laser sharp. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I don't have to say anything. The word of God is just looking at me and saying, Jerry, is your heart in line with this? So that's simply the question. If it's not, if there's anything there, I want you to unload it today. Would you? As the worship team plays, just say, God, I want to get this right. I need to get this off my chest. I need to get this straight before you. Help me and let me walk out of here a free person, a free of this, and place integrity in the midst of my heart. Let it become part of my character. Would you come? Would you come and just say, Lord, I just need help. I need you to help me in this, whatever this situation is. God knows what that is. We'd like to pray for you as you come, but let the music play and let God speak to your heart. And if you'd come, we're going to pray for you, and God, I know God will set you free from something that's been hanging on for so long, and God will deliver you even at this altar today. Praise God. Come. Thank you, Lord. Oh, as I was just praying, I'll tell you what I know, the Holy Spirit just spoke into my heart. He's making each one of you a vessel of honor. Right now, the Lord is removing any desire or any manipulation or any scheming, and He is placing back in the direction of the Holy Spirit. And you will leave this altar a vessel of honor. He will remove the dishonor. He will remove it. Doesn't matter what it is. He just wipes it clean. They say, this is a new opportunity to let me place something in you that's pure and right and holy and good and just and honorable. Amen? Amen? Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who responded. Thank you, Lord, for those in this sanctuary who, Lord, where they stand right now, God, they want to do it right. And I ask you now, Holy Spirit, God, I know you spoke this into my heart. And I'm asking in Jesus' name, right now, move on my brothers and sisters. Oh God, right now, just remove from them anything that's been blocking their ability to have the right relationship with you, to walk with honesty before you, to walk with the sense of trustworthiness. God, we're asking this in Jesus' name, that you place within my brothers and sisters, every one of them, the ability to say, yes, this is who I am, and this is the way I act. This is the way I will walk with God. Lord, do that right now in Jesus' name. Do it right now. If you'll just lift your arms up, just say, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, in your own heart, just say, Lord, I need this in my heart. I need integrity. I want integrity. I want to walk before you with a clear conscience. I want to be who you've called me to be. If you just ask God to do that right now, I believe He just goes right down the aisles to every one of you and just begins to remove this and put back in its place. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.